everyone. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to More Songs of Praise. More songs of praise, more songs, worship songs, wonderful hymns that you have all chosen. All I've done is put them into some sort of order, researched where they come from, who wrote them, and maybe one or two other nice things in between. So thank you very much for coming this morning, and I hope you will sing your hearts out with joy. And also there'll be quite a lot of standing, so you will complete all your standing cycles today of exercise. Okay, so I'll hand you over to Tony.
Good morning and welcome to worship. Let us pray. We meet together this morning in praise and thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let our voices sing out with joy. Let us remember all the people in the world who do not enjoy the freedom to worship as we do. We ask our Lord to give them continued courage to honour their faith throughout the insurmountable difficulties they face every day. Gracious Lord, we pray for our families and our friends whom we love and care for, and help us this week to show kindness and understanding to everyone we meet. May we be disciples of our Lord in everything we do and extend the hand of love and understanding throughout the coming week. We continue to pray every day for the people of Israel and Gaza, that lasting peace will finally come to these troubled countries. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And now let us join together in the words our Lord gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. The author of our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus, was Caroline Noel. She was born in Kent in 1817 and was the daughter of an American clergyman. She began writing poetry as a young girl, but then abandoned it until she was in her 40s. She suffered from frequent bouts of illness, eventually becoming an invalid. To encourage herself and others who were ill or incapacitated, Noel began to write devotional verse again. Her collection of poems entitled The Name of Jesus and Other Verses for the Sick and Lonely were published in 1861. Noel died in Marylebone, London in 1877. This endearing hymn has become very popular and appears in over 200 hymnals. The powerful words are set to the tune Camberwell by Michael Brearley. Sue has chosen this as her favourite hymn.
As the name of Jesus.
Our reading this morning is from Psalms, more specifically Psalm 96. If anybody wants to follow it on the Pew Bibles, it's on page 602. That's Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Amen. Our second hymn is hymn number 67 in the Methodist hymnal, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. It's written by a Church of England vicar called Edwin Hatch. He also had another job. He was professor of classics at the University of Trinity College in Canada. And actually it was published in 1886, which was just 3 years before he actually passed away. His words refer to the creation of man by God, taken from Genesis, and the spiritual breath of God, which came to humanity through our Lord Jesus at Pentecost. This hymn was the choice of Yvonne. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do.
Thank you. The King of Love, My Shepherd is one of my favourite hymns. This endearing hymn is God's invitation to walk with him in faith through the hard and beautiful parts of life. We often go through tough times, times of hurt, times of mental, spiritual, and emotional pain and darkness. The Lord leads us, he restores us, he protects us, he provides for us, and he loves us. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have all you need. The author is Sir Henry Williams Baker. He was an Anglican clergyman and the driving force behind the hymns, ancient and modern collection. The text is a paraphrase of Psalm 23, a widely beloved scripture offering comfort and reminding us of God's provision and care. Baker wrote the hymn while serving as vicar of Monkland, England. It was included in the 1868 Appendix of Hymns, Ancient and Modern. The hymn's calming and familiar feeling, coupled with its message of the shepherd's unfailing goodness, has made it a beloved classic. The hymn gained significant public recognition after it was included at the funeral service of Diana, Princess of Wales, in September 1997. I've always loved this hymn. It means everything to me. And as an added thing, the verse that he puts me on his shoulder, he lays me on his shoulder and rejoicing home. Those particular words mean a lot to me. And yes, so, I ought to say the hymn. Hymn number 649, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Thank you. The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. You can find it on page 1083 of the Church Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Thanks be to God for his word. Our next hymn is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. This much called for traditional hymn was written by Isaac Watts, who lived between 1674 and 1748. It was published in Hymns and Spiritual Songs in 1707. The text is based on Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Someone should write a sermon on that. Watts wrote over 600 hymns, and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross is considered to be one of his finest poems. The melody was written in 1824 by an American, Lowell Mason, and originated from early Gregorian chants. This powerful and emotional hymn ends with a climax: demands my soul, my life, my all. This is my dad's best loved hymn.
Thank you.
There Is a Green Hill Far Away is a well-loved Christian hymn, originally written for children. Today, it's most often sung during Easter services. The words were penned by Cecil Francis Alexander, an Anglo-Irish hymn writer and poet, and set to music by William Horsley. First published in Hymns for Little Children in 1848, it sits alongside other classics by Alexander, such as All Things Bright and Beautiful and Once in Royal David City. When Louise asked me to choose a hymn for today, this was the one that came to mind. Although it's considered a children's hymn, I remember being puzzled by it as a child. Why would a green hill ever have a city wall? And why was it important that this hill was without one? In fact, the hymn is based on the Apostles' Creed, specifically the line, "Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried." The green hill is Golgotha, and each verb from the creed is expanded into a stanza, culminating in a final verse that beautifully expresses the doctrine of the atonement. The repetition of the word dearly in the final verse carries a double meaning, that Christ loved us dearly and in a way that cost him dearly. It is a simple but profound hymn explaining the doctrine in a language that can be easily understood by a child, well, most children. It's no surprise that it appears in nearly every major hymn book. And I clearly wasn't the only child confused by the original wording, as many modern versions now say outside a city wall rather than without a city wall. But for me, it will always be the latter, and that's how I'll remember it. Please remain seated for the hymn.
This next hymn, "The Lord for the Lord for the Years Your Love Has Kept and Guided," has been a very special hymn to me over the many years. The hymn was written by Timothy Dudley Smith. He was Bishop of the Church of England and a noted hymn writer. He wrote about 400 hymns, including Tell Out My Soul. Dudley Smith was born in Manchester in 1926 and died in Cambridge in 2024. In 2003, he was awarded an OBE for services to hymnology, and in July 2009 became an Honorary Doctor of Divinity at Durham University. Lord for the Years was commissioned by the Centenary Service of the Christian Union. This hymn is a prayer of thanks for God's enduring love and faithfulness throughout time, acknowledging that God created mankind. The powerful text concludes with the word, Lord of our lives, to live for Christ alone. This has been chosen by Yvonne. So, Lord of the Years, it's number 428.
Thank you. Our next hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, hymn number 7. William Williams, 1717 to 1791, wrote the original Welsh text of this glorious hymn. It was published in 1745 under the title A Prayer for Strength to Go Through the Wilderness of the World. It has been translated into some 75 languages, making William's text universally popular among Christians throughout the world. For 50 years, he travelled in Wales preaching the gospel. Williams composed his hymn chiefly in the Welsh language. Peter Williams, 1722 to 1796, translated the text which began, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, into English. William Williams and Peter Williams were contemporaries with a similar background. William Williams is considered to be the greatest Welsh hymn writer of the 18th century. The tune is called Cwm Rhondda, composed in 1905 by John Hughes, 1873 to 1932. This intentionally known hymn has been adopted as the Welsh rugby hymn, often sung at rugby union matches. It's also a firm favourite of male voice choirs throughout the country. This stirring hymn is my special favourite.
The title of this popular modern hymn, hymn number 590, is it 590?
Yes.
Thank you. Is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That simply means you give God first place above everything else in your life, loving others as Jesus did, and trusting that he will care for your needs. God looks to us all to show justice, kindness, and humility in our daily lives. Karen Lafferty, an American contemporary musician, wrote this inspiring worship hymn. It is featured on her album Singing My Heart Out. She was born in New Mexico in 1948, and Seek Ye First was originally released in 1974. It has become one of the most popular, familiar praise songs, included in many recent hymnals. And this is one of my favourites. I have a few, but this is one. So, hallelujah.
Louise has found this really lovely poem for me to read. It's based on John chapter 15, verse 9, which was in Marcus's reading. It's called This Place of Love by Katie Kaufman. This is where I rest. This is where my anxious thoughts run away. I am safe here. I have peace in this place. This place is your love. This is where I relent. This is where I cease my striving. I let go here. I release my control in this place. This place is your love. This is where I am held. This is where I shed my tears and weep. I am comforted here. I find a loving embrace in this place. This place is your love. Wherever I am, whatever I do, whenever in my life, you will find me here in this place of love. This is our last congregational hymn, and it's number 1072, In Christ Alone. This enduring and powerful hymn was mastered by the partnership of Stuart Townend and Keith Getty. And this was the first song they wrote together. They met at a worship conference where they had coffee together and talked about their backgrounds, musical influences, and motivations to write. Keith promised to send Stuart a CD with some of the melodies he'd been working on. When it duly arrived a few days later, Stuart was moved by the first melody on it. It was both tuneful and memorable, and yet it was serious and emotional. He felt the pressure to write lyrics of a comparable standard. He based the words on the eternal theme of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. These powerful lyrics and the melody of this profound worship song is an undeniable statement of the power of Christ to sustain us in this life. And Jill has chosen this, and it's her very personal favourite.